All right. Thank you very much for tuning in. And this is, of course, Francis Nengera taking you through the realm of the historic hour. And today we are going to look at the topic. You know, we say certain countries were united. And it is ideological supremacy that led to the partitioning of certain countries. And today we are looking at the history of the partitioning of India in 1947, or from the 1947. Some of you don't know whether India was one with Pakistan. So Pakistan was part of India. And it was partitioned. And now we are going to just get into the short history of what happened before we delve deeper into our topic. But don't forget that the topic today is how ideological supremacy, the illusion of the ideological supremacy illusion, can lead to the partitioning of a certain society. There is an illusion in some people that their ideology, their religious ideology is greater than all. This is the mentality that is it's a mentality that was in the Roman Catholic Church, of thinking that their ideology was greater and that they could use it to conquer and even rule the world with. And then the Muslims also took the same thing. They think that Islam is ideologically greater than any other, you know, religion. And therefore, they must conquer the world using Islam, which is an illusion. Okay? And this so-called religious supremacy is the one that has led the world into much chaos today. We have
slow internet
groups.
Should be a headache of the past, yet many Namibians have connections that just aren't fast. We have a solution that might set you free. It's called Mobile LTE, and it comes with real speed. You'll enjoy up to 50 megabytes per second from just $300 Namibian a month, and free internet browsing after midnight till 6. When it comes to staying connected, this is it. Visit Paratus.Africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide and experience the thrill of better internet with Paratus by your side. Always prepared,
Paratus. All right, we continue. So we have groups that are fighting wars in the name of God. So we have groups that are fighting wars in the name of Allah, in the name of God. Right, so let's now delve into what we are talking about, just for you to get the glimpse or and at least an understanding and a clue. When we are talking about the history of the Islamic Republic of Pakistan, this one, it started on the 14th of August, 1947, when Islam, parted with India because of the ideology. The Indians were Hindi. India is 100% or predominantly Hindu, and then Pakistan is predominantly Muslim. And it is because of these ideological differences that India and Pakistan, and I mean, India was partitioned into two. One side became Pakistan, and the other one became India. Now, within Pakistan itself, you also had West and, you know, and East Pakistan. Now, East Pakistan was called Bangladesh. Sorry, East Pakistan is what became Bangladesh today. And then, the Western Pakistan is what we call Pakistan today. So it was just like that until 1971. In 1971, there was a civil war. So, first of all, I just want for this part to focus on the ideological differences between Hindus and Muslims. This is what some historians suggest is what happened or what led to the partitioning of India in 1947. The cultural and religious ideological differences and philosophical variations between, you know, between India and Pakistan, or between Hinduism and Islam, is that many people from the Pakistan side of things thought that or believed that they are somewhat superior to the Hindus, because they are Islamic. So they think that Islam is somewhat superior to Hindus or to Hinduism. And they even suggest that Hinduism or Hindus are not full human beings. That is what people in Pakistan believe, that if you are a Hindu or if you are not a Muslim, you are not a full human being. So this is what many Pakistani leaders believe, and this is what has been, you know, has been inculcated in people's minds. Most Muslims around the world think that they are somewhat superior to everyone else, and they deserve to conquer this world and make it Islamic. So, and this is what was, you know, rejected by the Hindus in India. So this is what was... Okay, pardon me there. This is what was rejected by Hindus in India, and said, nope, there's nothing like that. No superiority. So it led to some violence. And some people suggested that 1 million people died in that violence that led to the partitioning of India, and Pakistan became a country on its own with over 200 million people, of course. The other side, last Sunday I said 160, but it is over 200 million people, the population of Pakistan. So I'm correcting that error. So this was supposed to be a harmonious Indo subcontinent or Indian subcontinent without any problem. A world was supposed to be a harmonious world without any issue. But it is what brings chaos in the world is ideological supremacy illusion. An illusion is when people think they are greater than others. And when people think that they are somewhat important, more important than others. This is the problem that was brought about by the Roman Catholics and by Islam. In fact, the Roman Catholic and Islam are responsible for all the wars that were fought in the name of religion. Be it in the 7th century up to the 15th century. In fact, up to the 18th century, wars were fought in the name of religion. You know, because the Catholics thought that they were superior than any other person. And in fact, one of the illusion was from, I keep forgetting this Pope. The one that came with the doctrine of discovery. That was Pope, his name just disappeared from my head and I didn't write it in my script. But I'll find his name. It's very easy. So, this Pope told the Europeans that whoever is not Catholic and is not white is not a human being. And it is the same thing that the, you know, Muslims, Islamic caliphates, told their followers that whosoever is not Arab and is not Islamic is not a full human being. So it either they convert to Islam or they die. And they say it is either they convert to Catholicism or they die. You see, even if you convert to Islam today and you are not an Arab, you are still called a kafir. Because you are not Arab. Now, we know the terrible historical atrocities that were committed in the name of Islam around the world. And in fact, Islam is responsible for ethnic cleansing or cleansing in Iraq, in Iran, in wherever they went with their religion. They attempted to do as ethnic cleansing. Because certain populations would not want to convert, so they were killed. So, and this is a mental problem. When religion has become a mental problem, just like Catholicism was, Islam also became a mental problem, just like Catholicism was. So I'm doing this parallel comparison between Islam and Catholicism. So Catholicism is a religion created by the Roman Catholic out of Christianity. And that's why, you know, when they attempted to penetrate Ethiopia, which was a Christian country by that time, they were expelled. So the Roman Catholics were expelled from Ethiopia because they were considered as not Christians. And that's why, You know, if you look at Ethiopia and you look at their religion, they put to say it's Christianity and what? And Catholicism. So Catholicism is not, it's not Christianity. Catholicism is a combination of Christianity and all other, you know, sort of, you know, practices. So it's a, Catholicism is a combination of both Christianity and paganism. In fact, there were a lot of pagan religions that existed before Islam and before Catholicism. And those pagan religions were 100% peaceful. They were never used by any empire to, as a basis or as a state or as an imperial, you know, religion. I can give you Buddhism. No country was conquered by China in the name of Shintoism or Buddhism. I can also give you an example of Hinduism. No country was conquered by India in using, you know, Hinduism. Hinduism, Baha'u'llah, Baha'i, all those religions are peaceful religions. They always want to communicate their ideas. And then you choose whether you take it or not, or you don't take it without any threat of death. But not Islam and not Catholicism. Of course, Catholicism has now stalled because the Roman Catholics have decided they've caused a lot of chaos in the world. They've now decided to take a back seat and control the world using soft power. The only religion that does not want to learn from its mistakes is Islam, because people are told to believe that Islam is the only religion. In all honesty, there is no religion that takes anybody to God. There is only one thing that takes anyone to God, and that is harmful, and it does not come by force. Nobody uses to force anyone with it. And we'll talk about it later. Now, this is what led to Pakistan being created in 1947. In 1947, Pakistan was born, predominantly Islamic, the Islamic Republic. Okay, now if we are to make the difference between Hinduism and Islam, we will find that Hinduism is a religion. And they try by all means to be spiritual within the context of their religion. They try to be spiritual. You know, they have some spirituality and some, you know, some morality behind their religion and some ethics. So that's a difference. And the same with Buddhism, the same with Baha'u'llah, the same with Shintoism, and so forth. In fact, there is what we call Luciferianism or Satanism. So Satanism is entirely spiritual. Luciferianism is entirely spiritual. It's not, you know. So, but Islam is not spiritual. Islam is political. It is never spiritual. if you compare Islam with Hinduism, for example. So Hinduism is spiritual. And that's why you see that they are not violent. And they are not trying to use their religion to conquer the world with it, using it as somewhat of a political ideology. It is spiritual. And within the context of their religion, you can debate it, but I'm just making a difference. So Islam and Catholicism were not spiritual. They were political. That's why you had Rome as a Roman Catholic Church. That is a political church. It was not spiritual. Because it was the basis of the laws and governance of an empire. It is no longer spiritual. It becomes political. So, now that's why you have jihad, which is in many forms, because people believe they can fight in the name of God, or they can fight for God. And after fighting in this world, they are going to get 72 virgins. And according to Sahih Bukhari, the 72 virgin, the number 72 may not even be literal, but it just means there could be many women that are waiting for one person, if one man that will fight a jihad in this world. They will get 72 virgin women. So, that is the promise. And the Sunnah, for example, this contains the literature of, and the Sunnah is the most trusted source in Islam, is the most trusted source. Now the Sunnah, I can say it's a kind of like a commentary. Let me put it that way in English for you to understand. So it's a commentary of the Quran. You have people like, you have the Tafsir, you have people like Al-Tabri and Sahih Bukhari. These are very trusted sources of oral information or background information on the Quranic chapters, and in fact of the life of the Prophet Muhammad. So now in Surah chapter 2, if you read, it says that you must kill non-believers. And in another surah, it even says that non-believers must be crucified. You know, those who don't want to believe in Islam, they must be crucified. So they must be beheaded. That is in the Quran. But in any other religion, you don't find the book telling the followers what to do with unbelievers, because most of the religions that I've told you about are mostly trying to be spiritual. We hear that in Buddhism they also kill if you convert. I do not find it in their writings. But in Islam and in the Roman Catholic, they killed. And it's not only the Roman Catholics and Islam that killed people. the Protestants too killed people. Now, whether you like it or not, Protestantism is also not Christianity. Just like Catholicism, Anglicanism, Lutheranism, Pentecostalism, every ism, all those isms fall and rise on Catholicism. It's a branch out of Christianity that has nothing to do with Christ or the Bible. Because in the biblical text, both the canonized and non-canonized versions, there is no scripture whatsoever that says you must do anything, any harm to a non-believer for not believing. In fact, the Bible says you should love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemies and pray for those ones that take advantage of you, that take you for granted or despitefully use you. Those are the scriptures of the Bible. So in the Torah, there was a sentence. Moses put the law to say a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye. Because Moses was tired of this, of cases being brought to him. No, this one has broken my eye, my tooth. We were fighting. So Moses put a law to say, if somebody break your tooth, he must also lose his tooth. But Jesus came to say, no, you have heard of the old when it was said, a tooth for a tooth and an eye for an eye. But Jesus said, if your neighbor strikes you on the other cheek, you must give him the other cheek, which means you must be tolerant. It's just tolerance. It's not in a literal sense that there must be some tolerance, or you must be able to forgive. And in fact, you are told to forgive your enemy 77 times 77. In a day. And in fact, you are told that if you don't forgive, you will also not be forgiven. So, the Catholicism ideology centered on power and on rules, ruling, is the same with Islam. But Christianity itself is centered on love. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Loving God with all your heart. Loving one another. That's one important pillar in the Christian faith. But when you look at the Hindu religion and Buddhism and so forth, they are more on, you know, more on morality, more on ethics. It's a morality. They want their morality to be intact. And it's more embedded muchly into their cultures. They don't really want to expand and think that, I mean, India could have expanded. They are 1.4 billion people. China the same, 1.2, 1.3 billion people. There are many. They could have used their religion to expand, but no. Their religion is personal. So, if you do violence in the name of religion, then you need to know that your religion is not spiritual. It is political. And for the first 12 years, or for the first 20 years, let me say for the first 100 years, not even 100 years, let me just put to say for the first 12 years, Catholicism tried to be spiritual. But because they could not answer fundamental questions, they became politically violent. It's either you convert to Catholicism or you die. The same with Islam. Islam for 12 years, Muhammad really tried to be spiritual. And going up and down preaching and even saying that the Bible scriptures are true and people must believe the Injil, which is a gospel. But there was just a point where Muhammad could not answer fundamental questions. And that's when he became violent. And the moment he started to kill people for Islam, in the name of Islam, Islam switched from being spiritual to being political. And that's why you have Islamic republics. Islamic Republic of Iran, Islamic Republic of Afghanistan, Islamic Republic of Jordan, of Qatar, of Morocco, the kingdom of the Islamic Kingdom of Morocco, of Saudi Arabia. You see, because Islam is not spiritual, it is political. There is no Hindu Republic of India. No. India is a democracy. Now, of course, democracy is chaotic in its own. I'm not saying democracy is better. I'm just giving you a difference. In the Islamic republics, you are not supposed to be seen holding a Hindu material because it's an offense. Because the Islamic world think they are superior ideologically to any other person. And this is what led to the chaotic creation of Pakistan. So we are going for a short break. And we are going to be right back to continue. It is 16 minutes to the hour of 12 o'clock, and we still continue up to 1 o'clock. Stay tuned. This is Dolly Parton. It's Too Late.
You want me, and it's too late. Once my love for you was so great, but it's too late to love me. It's too bad. You say you need me, and it's too bad. I know the feeling, and it's so sad. But it's too late to love me now.
All right, we continue. So we it's an ideological supremacy. And the Islamic world think they are superior, and that they are supposed to convert everyone, and when necessary, convert them by force, because they need to be part of the supreme religion. And this is what is leading to much chaos in the world. Now, that's why you see, in any other religion, there is no law. Even in a Christian faith, there is no law that tells a Christian is superior to an unbeliever. So there is no scripture in the Bible that tells a Christian that they are superior than any other person in the world. In fact, the scripture says all human beings were created in the image of God. And in fact, in the scripture, they say there is no more difference between Greek and Jew, which means white and black. Everyone, we are all one in Christ. So there is no, if you are a Christian and you think you are superior than any other person, you are mistaken. In fact, what the Bible only says is that whoever believes in Christ is superior over demons or over evil spirits, not over the other human being, another human being. No. So, being superior to any other human being is an acceptable illusion. It's an unacceptable ideology. In fact, even if you get into the book of Genesis, when a human being was created, according to the Bible, he was not told to rule and have dominion over the other human being. No, he was told to have dominion over the fish of the sea and the beasts of the field and every creeping things, including the birds. That is what a human being should have dominion over, not on another human being. So we are not supposed to have dominion over any other human being or even claim supremacy of any sort. Now, Europe is apparently regretting for allowing people from Islamic countries to come to Europe because they refuse to assimilate. And they come in and they want to dominate with their Islamic laws. This is what the Europeans are saying. But surprisingly, people that are fleeing from Syria and all those countries, they are not fleeing into Saudi Arabia, for example. They are fleeing into the European countries that were former Christian countries. So, and it is very difficult to find a Hindu fleeing India. Maybe they will go to, even if they leave India and they come to, for example, Europe, Hindus are very peaceful people, and it is very easy for them to assimilate. And though they may not convert to the religion of the day, they may keep their own religion, but since their religion is more moralistic and more ethical, and since their religion is more trying to be spiritual, you will never find chaos in any country caused by, you know, people from the Hindu faith. You will never hear that. But chaos was caused by Catholics, and chaos is being caused by the Muslims because of the ideology that, or because of the idea that they are supreme to any other person, or their religion is supreme. For example, you can find a Hindu being beaten up in Saudi Arabia for being a Hindu, for not being a Muslim, or a Christian, or any other person from any other faith. But if you do the same to a Muslim, it is called Islamophobic. You are becoming Islamophobic. So it's the same thing done, but different interpretations. When it is done by this side, it is wrong. When it is done by that side, it is correct. That is what ideological supremacy is all about. Now, I'm also going to give you an example. If an Afrikaner in South Africa does anything to a black person, it is correct. But if a black person says or does something to a white person, it is called hate speech. And it is called racial attack. Don't also forget that ideological supremacy is what led you people to flee from the Adamawa floodplains. Most of our forefathers and elders will not tell us what led us to come to this side. And in fact, they will say that we came here because we were looking for greener pastures. That's not true. No, that's not true. So, the great migration was caused by something. And it is an ideological supremacy that caused us to flee the Adamawa floodplains and to come and find ourselves in Angola and Namibia or Zambia respectively. Most of our people will not want to tell us because, you see, whatever is our own, we want to present it as if it is the most holy, without error. And it is free from scrutiny. When black people are, or when people from the, okay, there are people that think there is a problem between, you know, those who are in church and and those who are at the traditional side of things. So the people at the religious side of things do not understand, you know, the people that are at the traditional and cultural side of things. And the same, the people that are in culture do not understand those that are in religion. And both of these people display a picture that their side is the most holy and most correct and is free from scrutiny. But history, the reason why we love history is because history will never change. It can be twisted here and there, but it can never change. We don't talk about how much we participated in selling our fellow blacks into slavery. We don't talk about that. And what led to the sale of slavery by major tribes, you know, trying to sell other tribes that they consider inferior to them according to this ideology of supremacy. We were selling our fellow black people. And then we tend immediately to come and play victim today and say, we were taken into slavery. Our people have been taken into slavery. But we know that when it comes to this merchandise, the traditional side of things was involved. Just like the church was involved. The Roman Catholic, the Anglican, they were involved in selling slave trade. In fact, slave trade only ended, not because the British became better Christians. No. It is because Britain because America was developing faster than Britain. And it is thanks to slaves. So America was developing faster and the economy was growing thanks to the slaves. And that's why the British abolished slavery, because they could no longer compete with America and they wanted to stall the American economy that was growing rapidly. That's why slavery was stopped, not on the ground of Christianity. It is not on the ground of conscience. It was on the ground of economic competition that the British could not keep up. So it is ideological supremacy that led to slave trade. And ideological supremacy existed even in our black community, in our black tribal kingdoms. There were kingdoms that thought, or tribal kingdoms that thought they were superior than other tribes. For example, the Lozi or the Luyana kingdom thought they were superior and that they could conquer, they had the right to conquer other tribes and convert them to their own, ideological, wanting to convert them to their tribes. That's why you see most of the people now speak Silozi. And Silozi is not a language of everyone in Zambezi. Everyone is forced to speak Silozi. It's because of that ideological supremacy that was imposed on all tribes, especially the smaller tribes and minority tribes in that area. They were conquered by the Luyana, and when the Luyanas were conquered by the Kololos, the Kololos in fact forced everyone to speak Silozi. That's where Silozi was born. Silozi was born as a lingua franca mixed between Sotho and Luyana. So it's Silozi is 85% Sotho and 15% Luyana, because Luyana became extinct. Now, it's not only Pakistan. Pakistan was born out of that ideology that they were supreme to any other person. And chaos broke loose. Now, I just want to give you another problem. You know, the terrible side of ideological supremacy. When Islam became political, they started conquering everyone. And they annihilated languages in the Middle East. They destroyed cultures, cleansing populations. And everybody now became Arabic. So the Arabs were not even the majority, you know, they were not even the majority, you know, tribe, ethnic group in the Middle East. Now, if I can give you an example between the difference between the Persians and the Medes, the Persians, you know, spread their ideologies like their culture. And the Persians were very tolerant and very accommodative. You know? And they allowed everyone to practice their culture. And in fact, to speak their language. As long as they are part of the Persian Empire. And that is what made the Persian Empire prosper. Because they allowed everyone to practice their culture, worship their God, and speak their language. That is why the Persian language and even the Persian Empire, you know, prospered. Not until Islam and Catholicism appeared. Now, what the Arabs have done in the Middle East is complete, you know, atrocity. They've done this through the Ottoman Empire, and they also done it through the Islamic caliphates itself, different of them, the different Islamic caliphates. So, and people were killed in the name of Islam, and in fact, languages were destroyed and cultures were destroyed in the name of Islam. And then, you know, what they did was, when they come into an area, they kill the men and they take women as their slaves. This is the same ideology that Faustino Domingos had in the 18th century in Argentina. We are going to it in a moment. So they came to North Africa. They found everyone black, like in Mauritania, Mauritius, all this word name Mauritania or Mauritius. They came from the word Mauros, which means land of the blacks. But today, if you go into Mauritius and Mauritania, it is Arabic. So what they did, they came into North Africa, kill all the black men, take women as slaves. And then you know, they wanted a color change. They wanted a change of color, so that every person in North Africa must at least have some Arabic blood in them. So anybody that was not like that, they were killed. These are documented facts. So, and that's why you see today Egypt is the way it is, Morocco is the way it is, Tunisia is the way it is, and the Moroccans especially, they think they are the Europe of Africa. They think they are Europeans of Africa. They don't even want to mingle with, you know, they have their own, because they think they are more white. It's as a result of ideological supremacy. Now, Faustinos Domingos, in 18th century, did the same in Argentina. He said, you know what, he doesn't want a black race at all in Argentina. He did two things. He sent black men to war. And then they made sure that black men, population of a black man dies. They take the women and then they give birth with them with at least lighter skin children. And then they do away with black women because now they have lighter skin girls. And then these lighter skin girls are taken to be with white skinned or more lighter skinned, better lighter skinned men. And after this, a bit of black, a bit of light, kind of colored, has given birth to a better colored person or better light skinned person. They do away with this lady until they got the correct race that they wanted. That's Domingos' ideology. It's supremacy. And we don't talk about this history. So, there's nothing that brings chaos in this world like this illusion that you are supreme to another person. It's the only one that brings chaos in the world. The Americans fought a lot of wars because of the illusion that they are supreme and they must be the ones that should police the world. These mentalities come from the British and the French. And the British and the French get this backward mentality from the Roman Empire. Because don't forget that the Anglo-Saxon and these other, all these Germanic tribes are the children of the Romans. Lastly, before we go to Bangladesh, I just want to give you a distinction between Rome and Greek, and Greece, Macedonia. Alexander was not that much of a leader that will sit down and lead. He was more of a military adventurer. But he was one of the most democratic person because he allowed people to practice their language. He allowed people to worship their gods. He allowed people to practice their culture. As long as whatever is written in your language must be translated into Greek. They were more interested in knowing, in getting wisdom. They were looking for wisdom from other tribes and other kingdoms. They conquered the world, yes. But they were looking for wisdom. How do we tap from the Babylonians? and how do we tap into the Egyptians? When they came the other side of Palestine in 300 BC, they found people reading the Torah, what we call the Torah, those five books of Moses, the Pentateuch, as they call it in Greek. And then they say, no, you guys cannot keep this to yourselves. Can it be translated into Greek? And that's why you hear that there is a Pentateuch, the five books, the Septuagint, was translated because they wanted to understand, and they built a very powerful library in Alexandria. But you know what the Romans and the Arabs came to do? Burn everything and force everyone to become Roman and force everyone to become Arabic under Islam. Because the Arabs and the Romans think they are supreme to any other, you know, civilization. And this is what has brought the world into chaos today. So this is what has brought the world into chaos today. Thinking that you are supreme. It's a dangerous mentality. Even in a relationship. That's why certain people don't last in a relationship, because you want to be the dominant force. And it's either your way or the highway. And that does not work in any relationship. And if there is God who thinks that way, that God does not deserve the worship of somebody that has a brain. You know, if there is a God, wherever that God may find himself, and he thinks that he does not want to give anybody chance to think, that God does not deserve to be worshipped by anyone that has a brain. Because as God, you are supposed to answer questions. But the moment you can't answer questions, there's no reason that I must follow you. And a God that has followers that are fighting for him, that God is weak. So if you are conducting war in the name of God, you need to know that your religion is weak and cannot stand the test of time. By the time you lose that power, that force, the whole religion will be gone. Because it's not based on, you know, it's not on any other foundation. Now, the difference is God does not need anyone to fight for him. Now let's talk about the real essence of God. Because God, the word God means all powerful. If God is almighty, why do you need to fight for him? Why do you need to speak for him if God is almighty? If God is all-knowing, he does not need a lawyer. When Jesus was before Pontius Pilate, Pontius said, do you know that I have power to punish you or to let you go? And Jesus said, no, that power, you are given that power. It's just because my kingdom is not of this world. So, but if my kingdom was of this world, the people would not have allowed you to capture me. So it is a president that needs bodyguard. It's a president that needs to be defended and to be protected, not God. God must protect himself. Because God must be almighty. He should be almighty. And if God is not almighty, and if God needs me who is a human being to fight for him, then then a lot is wrong with that God. And if you have a God that wants to kill his enemies, that is a paranoia God. It's a God that is insecure. He's living in insecurity. So there's so much insecurity in Islam and in Catholicism. Because when you fight for your God, it means both you and your God are not secured. You are living in insecurity and in fear. So a true leader, in the name of God, if you are God, well, and you are busy annihilating your enemies, and there must not be a trace of them, then there is something you are hiding. You see, there is something you are hiding that you don't want anybody to know. So, you are a paranoia God. And nobody with a brain must worship paranoia gods. Now, we now talk about if we look at the biblical God, if the biblical God at any point in time could have destroyed Satan, you know, for example, if Satan was completely destroyed, then we could have had a lot of questions. We could have had a lot of questions. But nope, Satan is free on bail. And he's walking around among us. And in fact, he can speak to us. And it is up to us to follow what he says or not. So there must be a choice. I must freely find out what, you know, about Satan. And if I like his ways, I must choose Satan. So, and I must also be able to follow God. And if I like his ways, and if I must freely choose him, because I'm not a robot, I'm a human being. And even computers that are created by human beings, you don't just let them do what they want. The computer will tell you, please wait, because the computer must have time to process what you are commanding it to do. And it will tell you what you are not supposed to do, what you are supposed to do, but it's your own computer. You could even have been the one that installed that Windows on or that built that computer. But it will tell you, it will also have, it's communicating back to you. So any God that does not get communication back to from his creation, that God must not be worshipped. No matter how powerful he might be. So, these ideologies came as a result of the wrong understanding of who God is. And it came as a result of the wrong understanding of what God wants. And that's why people that have brain and can ask questions Most of you guys in church or in the mosques, you don't like such people. Because you want them to believe what you are telling them without questioning. You want them, when they come to you, they must leave their brain at home and just take in what you say. No. Somebody with brain must be able to tell or to make a choice. Use his logic. You see, for me, I'm a Christian, not because my parents are Christians. No. In fact, I refused to be baptized in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That is my mother's church. So, my mother called all the church elders, and they came to lecture me, and they left that room one by one. Because I was using my medulla oblongata to respond to them. And they couldn't answer fundamental questions. Basic questions, for that matter. So they left one by one. So I became a Christian when I was old enough, and I did my own investigations. And out of my own conviction, because of what I have found, not because my parents are Christians, or not because I was born in a Christian family. In fact, there is no Christian family. No one was born a Christian. So this problem of supremacy, of ideological supremacy, is when you try to think that you are born a Muslim, or you are born a what? No. Religion or faith must be chosen. Somebody must choose. Out of what, after they have done their thorough investigation. In the Christian faith, you are not even supposed to convert to any religion. You are not supposed to convert. In fact, Jesus did not convert his disciple. Conversion came as a result of, you know, when people failed to be spiritual. When you are really spiritual, you're not supposed to convert. Once you convert, you are a religious person. Because faith is about transformation. And it works with a transformation in the renewing of one's mind. It's not an ideology that you need to impose on others. It's a lifestyle that you live. And somebody must be able to see their good conduct and then choose to imitate you or choose to shun it. It is not an ideology that it must be imposed on anyone and in fact be used as a basis of governance. Nope. It must be a lifestyle that somebody must see. In those days in a missionary, we were told to preach. But then we were told that when necessary, preach with your mouth. Because you are supposed to conduct yourself well. And let the other person see your conduct and imitate you. Or shun it. So, the moment a religion is becoming part of government, that is no longer spiritual. Because it has the structure which is physical. That's why Catholicism is not spiritual. Because you have a pope. Islam is not spiritual. Because you have the Ayatollah, the Ayatollahs or the clerics. Faith. When you have faith, you don't report to a human being. You report to God directly. because faith is a link between a human being and God, no middleman. Religion is an institution created by a human being. So that's where the difference is. Religion is an institution created by a human being out of supremacy. And in fact, as a result of a human being's failure to be spiritual, they create religion. And at the top of the religion, at the head of that religion, you have the priest, with the chief priests in Hinduism. You have the Ayatollah, who is the supreme leader, or the chief of all imams. And then you have the pontiff in the Catholic religion, who is a pope. There is no God there, no God anywhere, because God is personal, and God, the communication of God is heart to heart. There is no human being in between there. What we go to do in church, we are just supposed to go and edify, sharpen one another, and fellowship. Finish. Not somebody to run a monopoly of to think that they are the ones that are next to God and must give all of us instruction. That's not the base, that's not the essence of church. So now we have supreme leaders in church because of religion. Because religion is an established institution out of two things. Number one, a human being's failure of being spiritual or to be spiritual. Secondly, a human being's illusion of being supreme. That's why you have the archbishops. That's supremacy. Right, so let's go for a short break and we'll continue. I'm just giving you the dangers of being of this ideology of thinking that we are supreme. And in fact, in the faith of, you know, being a Christian, there is nowhere in the scripture where you are told that you are supreme than any other person. Nowhere in the scripture. You are not supreme over anyone. This Bible says we are all equal before God. So no one is supreme, no one is great. It's 26 minutes past the hour of, to the hour of 1 o'clock. And if you want to be part of the conversation, the number in studio is 083-288-401. That's the number in studio. You want to be part of the conversation. Now, we move to, after Pakistan became a republic, it was divided into West and East Pakistan. And then the Eastern Pakistan in 1971 wanted to have a political party. And they looked like as if they wanted to have some autonomy to West Pakistan, which was deemed as a revolt by the Western Pakistan, and the army was called in to crush it. And of course, the leader of the new political party was jailed. Therefore, the East Pakistani guerrilla fighters took off against the Western Pakistani army. And they were of course assisted by India. And then the Western Pakistani were defeated. And Bangladesh was formed. So what we call Bangladesh today was used to be called East Pakistan. So Bangladesh was formed in 1971 because they revolted. Two things that were very important. They said, look, we are Muslims, but we don't have the ethnicity. Our ethnicity and culture is different. Our ethnicity, our culture and language is different. So we want to preserve our language. We don't want to be forced to speak Arabic or Urdu. No. We don't want to be forced to speak Urdu or Arabic. We have a different language. We are Bengal. Okay? We are Bengals. We want to speak our language. That's why Bangladesh was formed or was created. It's ideological supremacy. When you want to think that you are greater than others and others must be you. When you come into other people's place, you want those people to change to your place but you are the ones that is coming to, you are the one that are coming to, you know, into those people's land. You cannot come into Ondonga and force the whole Ondonga into some, you know, Chokwe tradition. Because These are not Chokwes, they are Ndongas. And you need to respect them because you are the one that came to them. So, there are certain traditional and cultural practices that may not be morally correct for an Ndonga person to practice. But they are morally correct where you're coming from. So, and you don't come and change people. And this is the same with this. This is the problem with Islam and Catholicism. They go into an area and all of a sudden they want that area to convert to Islam, which is totally unacceptable. Now, I heard a story. I don't know how true it is. Apparently, the Elsin Church went to Katima, and they went to establish a church there. And when they reached, they arrived there, the issue was to say, okay, we need to have hymns, we need to sing songs in both Oshiwambo and Silozi. Because most people that are here are predominantly Lozi speaking. And apparently they said, no, in Elsin we only sing in Oshiwambo, wherever we go. Huh? Yes. How so? But we don't know Oshiwambo language. So it became an issue until they couldn't agree. And that is how it ended. Now, I don't know whether the Elsin Church continued there or not. That one, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know how true the story is. But I heard it from, the person I heard it from is very reliable. I would not think you would make up a story like this. But that's what happens. The only thing that the Catholics did very well, that is very commendable, is when they came in an area, not only the Catholics, but the missionaries, they tried by all means to understand the language of the people that they came to. And that's why you see that the Bible was translated in all vernacular language, all languages. And it is not twisted. It is just the same English version, just translated in a language. Of course, language commands and phraseologies may differ, but the message is the same. So that is the only thing that they did very well. They learned how to write. They made sure that the language has some literature. They wrote in the language, and that's why they were able to translate the Bible. So because you need to read in your own language, you need to be able to pray in your own language. Because God is supposed to be personal. You need to be able to pray to God in Oshiwambo. And if there is any information about God, it needs to be in Oshiwambo. Because faith, like I said, is a direct link between human being and God. So faith is a direct link between a human being and God. No middleman should be there. God and the human being. That's what faith is. Religion is as a result of a human failure human beings failed to have faith. That's why they created religion. And in fact, certain human beings felt that, okay, a human being to God directly, we will lose. Because how do we control? So for a human being to have control, they created religion so that they monopolize what you need to know about God. They are, according to them, there are things you need to know about God, and there are things you don't need to know about God. It's only them that should know, because they want control. The ideology of supremacy, when you think you are supreme to others, these are the people that are suffering from insecurity. Because without control, they have nothing left. Just like if you close a church today, if you close all the churches today, 99% of the people that go to church will have nothing to do after that. Because they have nothing to do beyond church. So that's why you see people in the world are very unproductive. But they want to gain boldness for a few hours that they are in church on Sunday, on Saturday. That's why they feel, because without, when you remove church, they will have nothing left for them. So if you close the churches today, people, most people will have nothing left. Because they think church is everything. But these denominations that we are talking about today were created by human beings because human beings want control. Religion is about control. Faith is about fellowship, relationship with God, without a human being being a middleman. Now, that cannot be allowed by religious figures, because they want to have a say on what you say to God, how you say to God, and they want to think that they are the special ones that God has appointed to so-called oversee his work. God does not need a human being to help him do his work. God does not need a human being to help him do his work. God does not need he does not need assistance from a human being. In fact, a human being is the one that needs help from God. So, but human beings want to control. That's why there is what we call church cemetery. So that if you misbehave while you are alive, they can get you when you are dead. Your parents and whoever is going to be left will be collateral of the war between you and the church. You will not be buried in the church cemetery until you pay certain things or until you bow to their demand. It's an illusion. It is an illusion driven by insecurity. It is an illusion, or the ideology, the supremacy ideology is an illusion. And it made a lot of pastors think they are very special. And it made a lot of church denominations, especially the so-called, you know, first churches in Namibia, that they can even demand land, that they must be given special, you know, privilege over land because they are the first churches in Namibia. That kind of supremacy or entitlement. Because You know, supremacism, it's an egotistic mentality. Supremacism is an egotistic mentality, very entitled, very self-centered. And once you come to this level, you see nobody except yourself. You see no one apart from yourself. So anybody else must bow to you. They must adhere to your so-called, you know, rule-based orders. That is what brought problem. And in fact, this kind of supremacy is what led for us to have a lot of denominations today. You know, people, there was Catholic. Somebody came out. Anglican. Okay. Somebody came out. Lutheran. And in fact, a lot of people came out of Lutheran and the Anglican, and some became the Seventh-day Adventist. And some became Pentecostals, some became Presbyterians, some became Methodists, some became... And even within the Pentecostals, there were a lot of divisions. Some of them are Apostolic Faith Missions, International Pentecostal Church, this and that. All that is because everyone wants to be supreme. Everyone wants to be the supreme commander. And that is no longer faith. That is religion. Because religion is as chaotic as chaos itself. And religion is all about control. It's all about power. It's nothing to do with going to heaven or pleasing God. No, religion will not take you to heaven. Religion takes you to the headquarters of your church, not to heaven. Whatever you do for your denomination, it does not take you to heaven. It takes you to your church headquarters. So, it is religion that brought chaos. It is the religion that gave birth to supremacy. The mentality of thinking that you are better and more important than any other person. You see, Jesus gave an example of two people that were praying in the temple. The Pharisee and the tax collector. The tax collector today will say, maybe somebody from Namra. You know, let me say, somebody from Namra is praying at this corner. And a church, very religious pastor, is also praying on the other corner. Now, this is what the pastor is going to say. Oh, Lord. I am not like that person that works from Namra. Because that person works for the government, which is corrupt, and they are busy taking our money through tax. I'm not like that. Him, he's a sinner. You see, I fast 3 days in a week. I give everything to the poor, and I give my tithes and offering. You know, it's not like that tax collector. I'm not like that tax collector that's there. I'm not like that person that works in a ministry of finance or that person that Namra official. So the Namra official is listening to the prayer. And you know what the Namra official made when it was his time to pray? He only made one sentence. And the Namra official, in as much as he's dressed with a suit, very professional guy, very professional, smelling nice perfume, I think Versace. And this religious man is not even smelling any perfume, he's smelling sweat, because they believe that perfume is a sin. So they believe that perfume is a sin. So he's smelling sweat, not perfume. And he's also not dressed properly. He's dressed religiously. Because they believe that the funnier you look, the more holy you are. So this Namra official makes only one sentence. You will not even look at heaven. Or you will not even look up. And he will say, Lord, forgive me, I am a sinner. Now, Jesus is asking a question. Between the two, who went home justified? And, you know, who went home, whose prayer is correct? And Jesus says the tax collector went home forgiven and justified. But a Pharisee, a religious person, will go home condemned. So, because he thinks, because he goes to church every Sunday, and he thinks because he fasts every week, and he thinks because he gives the tithe and gives offering, and because he, you know, he knows the scriptures, he looks at this Namra official and say, no, this one is a sinner. But the Namra official makes one prayer. Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. And this prayer to God is more accepted than the religious person's prayer. So with that too gives you that this other person is religious. But the Namra official has faith. That's where the difference is. Religious people are self-justified. They justify themselves, and they put themselves in a situation where they are better than the others. So it is a problem to think that you are supreme and that you are better than the other person. That is a problem. You know, that's a problem. So, you see now that we have three countries that came out of one country because of religious ideology and supremacy. And you know what? People that think they are powerful and they are supreme, they don't have peace. They are always the ones that are running around. So, you know, Hinduism existed thousands of years ago. And even Buddhism existed thousands of years ago. And up to now, there's no country conquered in the name of Buddhism, conquered in the name of Hinduism. Why? Because their religion is trying to be spiritual. You know, they are trying to be spiritual. They are trying to be moralistic. The reason why we have chaos in the Middle East is because Islam trying to be powerful when they are not powerful. Because Islam was supposed to be spiritual. But it is now becoming an ideology that is political. And that is dangerous. If you want to know better about this, you must ask the Roman Catholics. They tried that. And it didn't work. But now, we know that the Roman Catholic Church is the most calm church right now among all the churches, because they have learned from their mistakes, and now they are the most calm and composed organization. So, we are coming to an end of our show. We are landing. So, we were not created to be supreme over each other. We were created to be supreme over the universe. So if you think you want to be supreme over another human being, you are mistaken. It is called an illusion. From me, it's a goodbye till we meet again next Sunday. Same hour. We'll be right back.